regard to our Christian living and the culture in which we are found. I got this particular study put together several months ago when I was going through a verse of scripture that you remember a couple of weeks ago I mentioned in Matthew 22 at verse 21. Where Jesus was inquiring, or they were inquiring of the Lord about their paying of taxes and tribute and one thing and another. And Jesus pointed out to them as he talked about the nature of the kingdom and the nature of this world in Matthew 22 at verse 21. Whose superscription is this on this coin? And they said, Caesar's. And Jesus then said, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. We talk about the things that are rendered unto Caesar. We're talking about the things of coding of the money, the value of that money, the way in which that money was honored and represented in that world in which they lived. And Jesus wanted them to pay the proper taxes and tribute that they were responsible to pay. And Jesus wanted them to understand the difference between the things that are of Caesar and the things that are of God. Culture has some things that really and truly it doesn't matter how people believe it. Whether people believe that the earth is still flat, that really all the science program and the space program has been a waste of money or a way to get our money away from us, and as a result have us think that they really went to the moon when they didn't, or they really had the rockets that propelled out into outer space when they really don't. The ideals that some people have that the earth is still flat and still the case, or no matter that you look from outside space and you look back and you see a rounded earth. But if someone really and truly wanted to argue and fuss with you about the earth still flat, there's really not been a big science program like that. It's been a misuse of our funds and money they got away from us to get that space program talked about. What difference does that make? In the world in which we live, is that really true? Can it be verified differently? Well, I think it can be, but they don't think it can be. And so it's just a matter of culture in our time. Can a person quietly be thankful and thank God for the blessings that are held and enjoyed? Sure they can. There are things in society that by culture are habits. Our Lord talked about the love that we're to have for our fellow man and the kind of love that we're to share for people in general. And among the Jews and the Gentiles of that time, the Samaritans particularly, there was a great disdain that was held. Our Lord did not let that culture go by. He spoke in regard to the way that they should love and that they should uphold one another. And he even used in Luke 10, the Good Samaritan as the example of one who stopped his journey, who cared for a person who had fallen among the thieves down the road to Jericho, and had assisted him not only then, but publicly in the town, in the city, where they finally arrived. In telling this particular story, Jesus closed it out by telling them, as he raised the question to those that he was speaking, which one was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Hard for them to say, based on the culture, the Samaritan was the one who was really neighborly to him. But obviously, he was the one. And in the account that Jesus gave, Jesus said, regarding this, when they said the one that gave him help, he was the one real neighbor to the man. The reply of Jesus was, go thou and do likewise. This is the way that we're really going to satisfy that. It's not going to be to perpetuate the prejudice and the hatred that exists and can exist in the culture in which we live. But to change that brings about a desire in our heart to serve the Lord. And when you and I suffer for righteousness' sake, our Lord Jesus, from the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, talked about the great reward that comes to those who faithfully follow the Lord. And when we faithfully do the Lord's will and we are persecuted, listen to what his words are there in Matthew 5, beginning verse 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For even so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Notice the wonderful reward of being faithful to God and following His righteous way. And the statement that is made there in reference to whatever circumstances we face in life, that the world at large says, do this differently than God wants it to be done. And they're going to persecute you and me for righteousness' sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. There's a reward in heaven for being a person who cares enough to do the Lord's righteous will and righteous way. And in regard to this matter of being highly prejudiced toward a race of people or a culture of people, a background, our Lord did not support that at all. We love Jesus and love what He represented. And I'm mindful, very mindful, Brother Jeff, of the prayer this morning that you gave. It helped us all to see and the thoughtfulness of it actually was the body of our Lord. Hung upon that cross, suspended upon that cross by nails in His hands and in His feet. Struggling for breath. The intent that is studied out by those who study this science of execution tell us that the desire was to choke a person to death, to smother him to death. As much as anything else, it added to the suffering of that individual. And as our Lord was suspended between heaven and earth in that process, and gasping for breath, what did He say about those people there? And subsequently, about you and me that might do the same thing as they were doing? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What were they doing? Well, they were doing something in confines of their culture. They were doing this death in confines of the Roman culture and of the appeal that was made by the Jewish leaders who had been robbed of their right to do that, but not robbed of their request to do that. So they requested of the Romans to crucify Him. The Romans decided to go ahead and do this, though they found no fault in Him. And now Jesus is about to die. And His prayers are for them that know not what they do. I said, so some of us too, the idea is to be the same repeat of that, because in Hebrews chapter 6, reference is made to those who are saved from sin but go back to an old way of the world again. And how that in doing that, they actually crucify to themselves the Lord afresh and put Him to an open shame. Our Lord was crucified by those at that time, as we read in the latter part of Matthew and Luke and John and Mark. But there's another time where spiritually we may put the Lord back at the cross. Acting like and behaving like that there is nothing of benefit to Him, we re-put Him on the cross and crucify Him afresh. And again, put Him to an open shame. Should we be a person that in the culture in which we live, embrace a certain way of life, such as murder, approved by a culture in which one lives, but disdained by God and by our Lord Jesus, whom we love greatly? So as the culture believes in a prejudice or in an act of murder and approved by mankind doesn't mean that God approves. We're to be as Christians serving the Lord. And though it may be completely different than the culture in which we are growing up and living, the change is worth the effort. The pleasing of God and His righteous way is worth the cause. And let us be people who trust that the Lord will bless us. Look again at the blessing that He said in Matthew 5 and 12 and following. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. See, we're trying to follow the Lord, follow His righteous way. We're not going to enter into this personal prejudice. We're not going to do these acts of murder. What are we going to do? We're going to do the right things of the Lord. For that, what do we receive? Persecution. Reviling and persecute you. Speak all evil against you. But you look up to heaven, rejoice, and be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets who were before you. As we go down the line and teach our little children, our little grandchildren, the way to think and do in the society in which they live, and to stay away from and get away from those things that God Himself would oppose, and the right things of the Lord. It may be a difficult task because sometimes those things that are in a culture are tied in with people's practices and habits and the ways of life that are so ingrained, so known for many years of time, that it becomes a way of life. But you know, once we get down to where we're maturing enough and strong enough within our minds that what we read is really true, this is the way the Lord would have us to behave. This is the way the Lord would have us to grow. I close out with 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 5, which so conflicts with much of the cultures of the times in which we live and others live in the world. You think of somebody being a Christian and being overseas, being in Europe, and being in some places of the world in which there is such a vicious spirit that is resisting such things as knowledge and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness. Teaching rather to put these things together to make a bomb. Put these things together to make bloodshed possible. Put these things together in this order, in this way, and with this timer, and you won't be there to suffer it. But if you do suffer it, then you'll be a martyr. And this is for not brotherly kindness, but for harm and hurt. Think about someone converted in that base, in that background, in that place of the world. And how they must prayerfully and thoughtfully look at these matters. It deserves a part of our prayers for those faithful brethren who are finding themselves persecuted for righteousness' sake, even today. For they will be persecuted in those were parts of the world. That's the law and the order of the day for many of those nations. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 5, then he says, add unto your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. Patience, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. If these things be in you and abound, he says, they make you that you shall need be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, you really do know what the Lord has said when you add faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love to your heart and your daily walk of life. If these things be in you and abound. In other words, I don't need to just be patient. I need to abound in being patient. I don't need to just be in knowledge. I need to abound in knowledge. You see, I want to multiply it. That's the way the Lord would have us to do. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He's so short-sighted he cannot see afar off. You know, in a cultural situation, when we can only see what's in our generation, what's in our time, what's in our day, we can make some decisions there that are not in compliance with the Lord's long-range plan. Satisfactory here, but not in the long run. And he says, if you lack these things, you're blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. We were cleansed from that old way of sin to make a new way of life. But he that engrows in these things, engrows in these ways, an abundant entrance by shall be administered to him into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're in the kingdom of the Lord here in our day and time. We have a wonderful privilege and great thing for us. But we know that there are struggles and difficulties that we face, but ultimately if we add unto our faith, virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love, and if we add these things, there will be some day, and we're bound in these things, there will be some day an abundant entrance. The gates will spring open wide, and we will be admitted into the everlasting kingdom. Oh, there'll be all kinds of good things there, free from the trials and struggles of this life. Yes, there's some things in culture that need to be changed, and the servant of God must go about his life in compliance with the Lord's will and the Lord's way. Thank you for your study with me today. God bless you in every way of being the servant of God that he wants us to be. Thank you for your being a part of the service today. And encourage others to come and be a part of the services with us in every class that we have. The enjoyment of discussion and prayers that are offered is a way of growth and a way of help, and we're thankful for you and thankful for them. And it'll be a way in which we can overcome various troubles that are faced. When they challenged Jesus there in Matthew 22 with about this coin that's there and what they should do, and Jesus said, "You render unto Caesar the things of Caesar." He's telling them, you do what is compliant with Caesar's request and Caesar's way, that don't disobey God, but render unto God the things that are God's. And that is the way for us to go. As we sing a word of encouragement, think about your relationship with the Lord today.